Chapter 2. Prince David. When David Headley walked into the Taj for the first time in September 2006, he had been so impressed by its easy opulence, by the graceful staff and convivial regulars, that he wondered if he would be able to plot its demise. The grandeur reminded him of his own aristocratic antecedents, of his family's great wealth and influence, stories he had learned on the lap of his mother. The Chobidars hollered greetings as they threw back the doors, saluting as if they were posted especially for him. The citrus and talcum smell of frangipani in the tower lobby, not to mention the view through the sea lounge's windows that made the crowded gateway of India look like a well-crafted diorama, almost convinced Headley that the hotel was something secular and precious that was worth saving. Headley found this city of insomniacs invigorating. He greedily ingested its history, how the archipelago of seven islands had been a gift to King Charles II as part of the dowry from his new wife, Catherine of Braganza, in 1661, although up until the 19th century it was predominantly inhabited by Koli fishermen. Then Parsi migrants like the Tatars built empires and the Taj out of the saline swamp and transformed the city into the busiest seaport in Asia and the capital of the Bombay Presidency, one of the most prosperous and peaceful regions in British India. Headley was impressed by the Tatars' determination. He loved the frenzy of Mumbai with its sharp-elbowed, entrepreneurial spirit. It was just the idea of India, the land of his paternal forefathers, he despised. And he used this hair's-breadth chink between the city and the country, between the people and what he described as their Hindu rulers, to justify his covert project to bring death and mayhem. On his first visit, he could not afford to stay at the Taj, since his work had just begun and the budget was tight. But here, like most places where he had grafted, appearances were everything. He found himself a Grade A address, a private rooming house in the upmarket Breach Candy neighbourhood 4.5 miles away, bandying it about the Taj, where he became a fixture. Waiters, managers and guests saw him regularly quaffing a glass of Dom Perignon in the harbour bar or entertaining someone he would introduce as a client up in Faustine Martis's sea lounge, telling his companions in his loud American...